Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I once was a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore. So on the second, I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, oh, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the wide robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore. On the last, I like this verse, sing it now. In the book 'tis written, say by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the wide robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. Play a little bit. How many glad that you're saved by grace? You're saved, 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 amen. How many know there's a new name written up in glory, amen? Aren't you glad that you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen, amen. We get to them parts and them songs and you know it. Raise your hand a little bit and let's show the world, show each other that we know we have a new name. All right, let's sing that last verse and let's sing it out now. In the book 'tis written, say by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. Sing it! For there's a new name written down in glory. How about it? And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the wide robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home, yeah. For there's a new name written down in glory, yeah. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. You glad about that? Say amen. tough, and trials, they're hard to bear. But there's a God who hears and he answers prayer. Listen, he will listen. When you call, he knows exactly what to do. He's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. So through the valleys, deep or wide, or on the mountain peak so high, when you're happy, when you're sad, he'll be the best friend you've ever had. So if you feel you can't go on, he'll be there to see you through. He's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. Now go ask Abraham, walking Isaac up that lonely hill. Now go ask the widow about that time her empty barrel was filled. Go and ask Peter down in the jail the night the church of God they prayed through. They'd all say he's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. So through the valleys, deep or wide, or on the mountain peak so high, when you're happy, it's also when you're sad, he'll be the best friend you've ever had. So when you feel you can't go on, my God, he'll be there to see you through. He's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. I know my God has never failed one yet. He won't start with you.
In the palaces, the Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip around me, and so gently he'd say, "My child, we are going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold me. It's so heavy, and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends that I have known. Every step draws me nearer to the land of my dreams. Praise God, I am going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold me here.
standing up. Amen. Brother William wanted to know where the standing ovation was. praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? I tell you, folks, if it doesn't cool down up here, I may have to shed this thing. It is good and hot. Hang on a minute. Amen. Amen. When I'm at home, Lisa does that with a big palm leaf. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, when we were talking about breaking concrete a while ago, I heard John say something about he's not lying. He is telling the truth. I used to break concrete with my head. And I saw a kung fu expert do that, and he was a friend of mine, actually, in our families. And I guess I saw him about 15 years later. He said, "I don't do that anymore because it messes you up here." Well, I think he was right. Well, it's good to see our brother Richie from Tampa back with us tonight. I appreciate him coming worshiping with us, and I pray that he's been blessed. I know I've been blessed. Good to see Miss Lori here tonight. And I know Leanne's happy for the grandbabies here, but appreciate her being here as well, and anyone else that I may have missed that is visiting or coming periodically. I didn't notice or say something. You just forgive me. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. I will not keep you long tonight. I did go over extensively this morning, but I do not apologize for that. When the Lord gives me a message, I have to preach that message. And we had to lay the groundwork for this thing, this program that I believe will be beneficial to Westside Baptist Church, and I believe it will help us. The last thing I want to see is people try to serve the Lord and they get tired and burned out. And if there's a way we can keep that from happening, then that's what I would like to do. This morning I was making reference to I'm tired, I'm burned out. Look, there are times that is very legitimate. People do get tired, people get burned out, and I was not trying to make light of that at all. But I just want to clarify that it is a legitimate issue. People are working 2 and 3 jobs these days to make things, to make ends meet. And they come into church trying to serve, trying to worship, and sometimes they're just worn out. And I don't want to be disrespectful concerning those legitimate times. And I understand there's a lot of excuse making that does go on, but nevertheless, I just want you to know I appreciate those that serve, and our desire is to help you serve until Jesus comes and not experience this thing that we call burnout or discouragement to the point where you want to quit serving the Lord. Well, in Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah chapter 41, it says this in verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you just for a few moments tonight on the topic of I don't know what to do. About 5 years ago, I made reference to this issue of I don't know what to do, and I just want to help you today. I believe that there may be some of you that are there in your Christian walk for various reasons. You may say tonight, I don't know what to do. Some people say, I don't know what to do. when someone they know may be sick or is dying or has died. I don't know what to do to help and comfort the families that are going through these issues, the deaths or the dying. I just don't know what to do. Well, I believe that when we're in this situation, some are sympathetic, some are scared and really don't know how to show their sympathy. They really don't know what to do. And I guess, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty normal. I've been doing this for many years now, decades. And there are times I walk into situations, and as experienced as I am in these situations, I still don't know what to do. So I want you to know it's a normal thing when we do not know what to do during deaths or other situation concerning individuals, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's okay we don't know what to do. I think sometimes we don't know what to do because we become overwhelmed in those circumstances, and others don't know what to do, so too many times we don't do anything, and that's the worst thing we can do. But nevertheless, we do deal with these situations where we just don't know what to do. Two specific times in my ministry, I've been called on in the middle of the night. And in these two particular situations, they were tragic suicides. There I had to get my car in the wee hours and pull into the driveway of two different homes where in both cases, men had hung themselves there at their own house, there where their children were and their wife was. Just a tragic situation. And to walk into a situation like that, and frankly, you're hesitant because every situation is different and you just don't know what to do. Sometimes you are best suited to do nothing. And I know then sometimes it might be the right thing to do, to open a Bible and read a verse of encouragement. I remember in one of the events I told you about, we were actually at church, and we received word that this man in our church, his son, had hung himself in church, and I had to leave the pulpit, go into the foyer to find out what was going on. The man was still sitting in the pew. We had to pull him out of the church and tell him that his son had passed. We put him in the car and went as quickly as we could to his son's house where he had hung himself. I remember the man screaming and crying and begging God for help. He sat in a chair gasping for air. And I'll never forget, as he gasped for air because he was hyperventilating. Some of you that work in the ER and some that work in the police department, you know these situations take place. And he, through the gasping of breath, he said, "Preacher, please pray." So sometimes you may be called on to read, sometimes to pray. Sometimes I'm afraid, Christians, that we say things and trying to be a comfort and trying to be inspirational. Sometimes we say things when we shouldn't. Sometimes, and most of the time, I've found that just being there, standing there quietly, off to the side, there with the family, is more important than anything else that we could possibly do. So sometimes the truth is we just don't know what to do. Some people say, I don't know what to do when drugs enter their household. Some people don't know what to do. I received a phone call from a couple years ago, and they said, we don't know what to do. Our daughter's on methamphetamines. She's destroying our home. And she comes in high, and she'll pick a lamp up or knock it over and call 911 and claim that we're beating her. And we don't know what to do. I get my car and go over there, and policemen are there, and the ambulances are there, and the parents are broken up because they've been lied on, and they're crying and they're screaming and they're saying, I don't know what to do. I received a phone call not too long ago from a friend of mine. And they were allowing his son, which was married, to move back into their house because their son and his wife had lost their home because they wouldn't work. And one night, the smoke filled the house. He woke up and opened the door to his son and his daughter-in-law's bedroom, and the bedroom was on fire. They had gotten into the house there and gotten into the closet, and they were doing drugs and caused a big fire in this man's house. A man who had once had a Christian home. A man who once had a happy home, and the devil was in his house, and he called me crying and weeping, and he said, preacher, I don't know what to do. When the ministry of a saint experiences rough water many times, they'll cry out, I don't know what to do. Many times it could be that Sunday school teacher that's not seeing their ministry in their local church thrive, their class do what they want, grow like they would like to see it grow. And in frustration, they cry out, I don't know what to do. It could be the bus captain or the bus driver or that person in charge of that bus ministry or bus route. Things aren't going like they want them to go in that ministry, and they say, I don't know what to do. Then I've seen the pressures of the ministry bear down on the deacons many times, and even the trustees, and the weight gets so heavy carrying this burden that these situations that take place so many times in our local churches, that I've heard deacons and trustees say, we just don't know what to do. One minister told this story of a friend of his. His friend called pastor number one, called pastor number two, and said, I'm in trouble in my church, and I don't know what to do. After some conversation took place, the friend of pastor number one had to bring up to his friend how he had a natural scowl on his face. He looked angry even when he wasn't angry. And his congregation had mistook this natural scowl that they believed that their preacher really didn't care, that he was angry with them most of the time. And this man, this preacher that said, I don't know what to do, was instructed. And pastor, he told his friend, he said, I tell you what you need to do. You need to stand in the pulpit and tell your people that you love them. He said, if you'll do that, it'll change your ministry. And so that preacher the next Sunday went to the church with his natural scowl and told his people that he loved them. And folks, it changed his ministry. And the church prospered. And the people learned to love their pastor back. They even learned to love the old scowl, the frown, because they came to realize that was not his feelings toward them, but it was just the way he looked. I guess under enough pressure, we all can have that natural scowl, that look of distress or depression. I believe, personally, I'm probably guilty of that. I let the pressures of this world and this life get a hold of me. And I have recently had somebody say, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I'm okay." And I smiled. I lied because I wasn't okay. So sometimes life's burdens beat us down and we don't know what to do. Many Christians, when going through a deep valley, say that very thing. I guess if you don't mind, I'd like to give you a couple suggestions and comments that might help you in the Lord, and then we'll go to the house. An old preacher said we need to make sure we know who we are. He said we're sinners and we're sufferers. And when we suffer, we want to make sure we drink the full cup of it. Now, isn't that opposite of what we do? When we're suffering, we want as little of it as we can. But this old preacher said, nope, you need to drink the full cup of it. So that when we can learn what God is teaching us, most of all, we want to make sure we experience grace. And why is that? It is because God's grace is sufficient. When we drink the full cup of sorrow, then we can experience the full cup of grace. After we've given the Lord the problem, and we still don't know what to do, I believe we need to spend time with Him. When we spend time with our Lord, we will find He acts on behalf of those that wait on Him. Elijah Hoffman was born in Pennsylvania and spent his life as a pastor there. Once while visiting an individual that was in a deep trial, she cried out to him, "Oh, what shall I do? I don't know what to do." And then her face brightened up and she said, in quotes, "I must tell Jesus." On his way home, Elijah Hoffman began to think on what this lady had said, and those words did ring in his mind. And he wrote this song. And it says, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves me and cares for His own." He wrote, "I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. If I must ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end." And then he wrote verse 3, "Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus he all my cares and sorrows will share. Then lastly, he wrote, oh, how the world would to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world, the victory to win. Then he goes on to write, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Ladies and gentlemen, when we don't know what to do, we can tell Jesus. How can we get to this point in the middle of our battles? Because there has to be some spiritual reasoning here. I say that because so many times in the battle, when it's so thick and difficult, and we say we don't know what to do, we do nothing except blame God. How can we get to the point where we turn to Jesus? And in 1 Peter 5, it tells us this. It's starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That means knock off the rough edges. Establish, strengthen, and settle us. When we humble ourselves before the almighty hand of God, he can take control of the situation that we're battling in. Who else may say, I don't know what to do? I read a story of a young girl. She was saved and she was excited. She was so excited about her salvation, she actually said this, oh, Mama, I'm so happy I don't know what to do. I love Jesus so. Then she prayed a prayer. She said, dear Jesus, please make me always make you feel happy. What a prayer. We always, Christians, so many times, we ask God for our joy. We ask God for our happiness. But this girl said, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to pray and ask God to help me make him happy. And then she said, this I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Maybe in the middle of our messes, in the middle of our situations, maybe we should learn what we're taught in Isaiah 41:10, where we first of all realize whose hand we are in and fear not. Maybe, not maybe, but for sure we need to do like the little lady said to the man who wrote this song. I must tell Jesus. So why don't we run to Him tonight? Why don't we tell Him about our problems? Why don't we tell Him about our sorrows? Then I tell you what else we need to do. We need to do what we're told here in 1 Peter chapter 5 to humble ourselves before the Lord. Realize that He's bigger than we are. He's bigger than our troubles. He's bigger than our trials. Humble ourselves before Him. Then lastly, I like this again. Let's live in such a way that it will make Jesus happy. When we don't know what to do, we can trust the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we can tell the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we can humble ourselves before the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we can live our lives in such a way that it will please the Lord. That's good preaching, any way you cut it right there. I told you I wouldn't keep you long, and we'd go to the house and ask Brother Dave to come, and let's go, we'll go right into the music, for the music to start playing. I have a question. Are you there? Are you there where you could use a hand from God? He says, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He did. He said he'd undergird you. He'd help you. He'd uphold you. And he'd all do it with his great, mighty right hand. All we need to do is realize it. Humble ourselves before him and let him do his work in our lives. Let's all stand, please. Simple invitation. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but tonight I trust you through it all.